I invite you to turn in your Old Testament to the book of Psalms, Psalm 23. I'm going to finish that trilogy of shepherd psalms that we had started to look at last Sunday. And we looked at Psalm 22, 23, and 24. And Psalm 22, essentially, we were looking at all of the points of Jesus and his death. And it's so interesting there in that very first line of Psalm 22 saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. And interesting how throughout that psalm, reminding us of the great sacrifice that our shepherd was willing to do for us. It says that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, and Jesus just did that fully for our benefit. And then as we moved a little bit forward to Psalm 24, we looked at the interesting things, the things that Jesus, who was given that crown of righteousness, that crown of victory, even though while he was dying, he was given that crown of thorns, he was raised up to be at the right hand of the throne of God and given that crown of royalty and victory and reigning. And one of the things that symbolizes what is truly great about how he reigns is how humble he was, that he came down from that place to this lowly earth to make sure that all of us could have safety in his presence and could safely make it through this life. And that's where Psalm 23 kind of then begins to zero in and focus on this journey of this life. And what is truly amazing is what the fact that Jesus has already accomplished what so many of us live our lives really in fear of, death. If you think about it, most of us, we're living our lives almost in that almost fearful anticipation, even though we try to put it outside of our minds. We try to just not dwell on it, not to be morbid about it, of course. But we're always constantly reminded, and even so many, David in the Psalms says, I'm but just a step away from death at times. You just don't know how close we are. And in that says, I think, the fact that we know that there's going to come an end to our life, that kind of overshadows so much of what we're living for. That everything we try to keep going, everything we try to keep alive in our lives, there's always that tendency of fear of what if it stops? What if it's killed? What if it comes to darkness? What if nothing comes of it? What if it just kind of ends prematurely before anything really good is able to flourish from it? There's always this sense of keeping things going, keeping things alive, keeping things moving. And as we face all kinds of fears and all kinds of challenges and all kinds of struggles through that, Jesus wants us to be confident in this life, knowing he has already tasted death for us. And one of the things that makes Psalm 23 so great about this great shepherd that has been risen from the dead, who has tasted death for us, and in many ways is trying to alleviate that fear and remove all sense of anxiousness and all sense of worry from our day-to-day life. That if we truly give ourselves to the shepherd who has already died for us, and had the sense of victory to say there, even in the very end, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. We hopefully can realize the benefits of what happens when we simply give our lives in trust to the great shepherd. Just go ahead and read this psalm together. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 6. Says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Truly amazing is that David, throughout his life, he always had the shepherd image presented before him. Those were his days as a boy, was around sheep. He was very intimately acquainted with the lives of sheep. It's really amazing how Nathan, the prophet, knew what would really get at Nathan. Get at David. An illustration of somebody who had one little ewe lamb, and how precious that would have been to somebody, and how tragic for someone who had so much just steal it away from them. And it was that image of someone who had that kind of care and that kind of protection and that kind of relationship with watching and caring for little infant baby sheep and carrying them throughout their maturity and all the work that entails and the sacrifice and the attachment that it has. David understood that. And it would seem that this is more towards the end of David's life. David has had a storied life. David has had all kinds of tragedy. David has had all kinds of close steps with death. He's had his ups, his downs. He's had moments of triumph, and he's had moments of tremendous failure. And as he's looking back, it seems as if he is being truly comforted to realize God's shepherding hand has constantly been with him throughout his life and encouraging us as he continues to make his way towards closeness with the Lord in all of his daily walk, to trust that God truly is the shepherd that looks at us as sheep. It truly is amazing there. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The ability for one who trusts in the Lord to say, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. Someone made an interesting statement about how important that word my is. And how it takes on a truly different meaning when we can truly say my in relationship to something. Someone made a comment. There was once a couple of individuals who were just, they were having a chat alongside a road. And as they were talking, they heard the just horrific sound of cars colliding into each other. Horrific wreck had happened a little bit farther down. They could see everything happening. And all of a sudden, they witnessed in kind of just shock as all kinds of people were running from houses and running, that the individuals were getting out of their cars to stop and see what was happening. And all of a sudden, they heard someone say, oh, it's a boy. It's a boy that's trapped inside that car and needs some help. And people were rushing there to help. And the two men were suddenly realizing there was the need to panic, to rush in the situation, that there's a boy there. And then one of the men, as he got closer, all of a sudden, things took a dramatic change because he realized, that's not just a boy, that's my boy. And I think all of us can recognize what happens when you say a shepherd versus my shepherd. Just as we would say, that's a boy, or that's someone's son, versus that's my child. Things take on a truly precious closeness, a sense of relationship, a sense of urgency, a sense of connection, that when Jesus, this is what David is saying, he said, I can truly talk to the Lord, not as a shepherd, a general, just kind of a shepherd of all kinds of people. He says, he is truly my shepherd. And he wants all of us to recognize that what truly beautiful relationship we can have with God, to truly say he is my shepherd. Not just a shepherd, but think about how much different that might be for us in our lives if we allow that relationship to happen. And it says, so notice the benefits of when we realize that he is my shepherd. And notice how he keeps putting himself there. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. One thing that's interesting about sheep, I don't know much about sheep. I don't spend much time around sheep. I'm not a farmer. I don't know much about animals. So I've relied a lot on what other people who have spent time with sheep have said about this. So anything I say is not particularly, it's either accurate for anyone else who has been around sheep. Harold, go ahead and just tell me where I've gone wrong, or that's not exactly accurate. But this is what I've just, some of the things I've read and heard people say about their connection with sheep. And I thought it was interesting, somebody was pointing out, they said, one thing they notice about sheep is how helpless they seem to be.
You know, very rarely would you ever, you know, if we were just kind of minding our business, maybe we were just, you know, having a little chat in the backyard, and we're talking, we're enjoying some lemonade, and if there is a sheep that just wandered in front of us, I don't know anybody say, oh, look out, there's a sheep coming. They're so innocent. They don't have claws. They don't have fangs. They don't have sharp teeth. They protect themselves. They're truly helpless. That's why there's a need for a shepherd, someone to actually protect them, because they're totally prey to, if a wolf or someone, a wild animal that does have claws, does have, you know, something vicious about them, these sheep are totally innocent, harmless creatures and truly helpless, cannot fend for themselves, and are truly relying upon somebody to look after that sheep, that has to have that kind of interest in that animal. And in many ways, David is saying, this is the way God looks at me. I'm totally vulnerable out here in this world. What weapons do I have against evil? What truly can I do against the darkness, against the blackness, against the viciousness that's in this world? What can I really do about it? And don't we feel that sense of helplessness, that sense of what tools do I have to really attack or stop vicious evil in this world? But when you have a shepherd who sees how we are vulnerable, sees there's not much we can do to protect ourselves, he wants to lead us safely through this world. And he has the capacity, he has the ability to then give a calming effect. Because what else happens when you feel helpless, when you feel defenseless, is you get a little skittish. Every little thing, you know, makes you uneasy. And I've heard people say that sheep tend to be like that. They said, which is why he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside waters. I've heard it said that sheep will not actually lay down and eat unless they feel totally safe and feel protected. That there's any sense of danger, if there's any sense that they don't know, that they just won't do it. And also, there's a loud sense of rushing water. It's so loud, and it's so boisterous, and so violent sounding that they just won't drink from it. They're so timid that almost the idea that it has to be the calming effect of slow waters. Almost in the sense that just as we sung that beautiful hymn, "The Dew That's Still on the Roses," I've heard some shepherds say the best time to bring sheep in to get a drink is early morning when the dew is still out, because it's so peaceful and quiet. You could just almost lick up some of that and just could get a little bit of a drink. But that's the idea, is that so much violence, so much uncertainty, so much that we are really defenseless against. And oftentimes we spend so much time trying to build up our own sense of fortresses and our own sense of defenses and our own sense of reliances. But in the end, wouldn't it be better if you had one individual that could truly protect you, that could truly give you that sense of comfort? He says, yes. He says, I have a shepherd who makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And the metaphor here, as we know, David was intimately acquainted with what are those quiet waters. That is that quiet time we spend in the shepherd's presence, drinking from the water of life. And what is truly beautiful about this is David says, the blessing of having a shepherd like this is truly what calms our souls. What is it that gives us that sense of peace in a world of uncertainty and all the timidity that something we inhabit? We're just looking over our shoulders, looking at this, looking at that, judging ourselves, measuring ourselves against this person, watching what this person over here does, and seeing if we can quite measure up to that, if we can repeat the same kind of success somebody else has. Always looking at ourselves, kind of looking at where are we advancing properly? Is there something that's missing in our life? All those things that just kind of rob us of our sleep, rob us of our peace. And the one who has gone through this life, who has tasted death, the shepherd, when he gets us to drink from his peaceful waters, it is a steady stream of this message. All that stuff is not really important at all.
It is the shepherd who gives us, who allows us to, in this sense of competitiveness in this world where everything is commercialized and everything is judged and rated on whether it's looks or money or success, whatever it is, all these things that we're drawn into. They make us uneasy. They make us unsatisfied. And the shepherd is saying, let me lead you to the kind of waters that calm that down, that drown out the noise of all of it. He says, you know what? I lived this life and I died. I didn't have any of those things. And yet everything turned out just fine for me. And that's what I want for you. In fact, turn over to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, Paul had this mindset about what truly benefits we have when we have the Lord as our shepherd. When the Lord is our shepherd. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. That's our shepherd. We can rejoice in him. He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Did you catch that? Let your gentle spirit be near. Calm down. Settle down. There's no need to be anxious. There's no need to feel that timidity, that sense of, I've got to protect myself. I've got to protect my spot. I've got to attack, or I've got to hoard up, or I've got to do all these things in preparation. And make no doubt about it. We do those things out of fear. Fear that we can't control it. And the shepherd says, you don't need to. The shepherd says, let me control your sense of being at peace. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. I'm not worried about those things. Or I'm not really about trying to establish chart out a piece of territory right here and with such vengeance or such tenacity. I have to have it. If I don't have it, I can't succeed. If I don't have it this way, those kinds of things. He says, don't have it. Have a gentle, peaceful spirit. How do we have that? When the Lord is near. Because the Lord draws near to us when we draw near to him. And especially it's in the quiet moments. Yes, it's just as a shepherd would gently lead his sheep in the early mornings to get that dew that's still on the roses. Isn't the best time, if we can carve out maybe a quiet time in the morning before all the chaos of the day is unfolded, to spend time with a shepherd who can lead us in those early quiet moments if we trust that he wants to do that for us. And just let his word wash over us, the gentle running water of his word. What happens? He says in verse 6, he says, when you do this, be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And notice what happens in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, in all the chaos that ensues, it cannot be stopped. Remember, didn't Jesus point this out? Jesus said, I'm going to remind you that even in your discipleship, there's always going to be wars. There's always going to be earthquakes. There's always going to be natural disasters. There's always going to be some need for watching out for some potential danger. It's always going to be rummaging and rolling around us. How can I have peace in that? He says, a shepherd has the peaceful running waters that allows us to just sit down. He makes us what? Lie down. We don't feel like we have to be on edge, get ready to run, get ready to jump, get ready to watch out for this or that. He says you can actually lay down in the ensuing chaos of it all. How do we do that? Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These all come from God's word, his promises that we talked about this morning in class. Faithful promises that a faithful shepherd is leading us to trust. In verse 9, He says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I have an image in my head connected with what David's saying. It goes back to, remember, the difference between Mary and Martha. Remember, Martha was, and Jesus pointed, said, Martha, you're running around, you're worried, you've got all these things that are weighing down on you, and here's Mary. What is she doing? Her closeness to the shepherd and all the ensuing madness has caused her to lay down. I can sit peacefully. I don't have any regrets. I don't feel guilty. I see all the ensuing madness and all of that going in front of me, and they're pulling me, trying to make me feel like I need to be a part of that. And Jesus, the shepherd, defending, saying, no, she's chosen this good part. I've brought her here to be able to lay down and rest and be at peace. That's what Paul's saying. He says, let that gentle spirit be known to all men. I don't have to be a part of that craziness. I can have it much more simpler. It doesn't have to be that complicated. I'm born into this world, and I'm going to leave this world. And the shepherd has already done that and wants us to simply trust him, put his kingdom first, and put everything else at rest. And be gentle. Don't feel like you have to guard it, protect it. That's what he's saying. We go back there to Psalm 23. And notice again the imagery there. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He guards that sense of that peacefulness that I can be able to do these things. And notice what he says. He says, I shall not want. I'm not going to be in want of anything. I'm not going to be one of those people who always feels gypped or left out. Or boy, maybe if I would have spent a little bit more time, or if I would have invested a little bit more money, or if I would have spent a little bit more time trying to get this kind of success. He says, I'm never going to feel that. He says, I'm so grateful and thankful as I look back. I think how many times he tried to pull that away from me and said, don't worry about that. And he does. When we are drinking from the coolness of his word and letting those peaceful waters pour into our thirsty soul, two things happen. One, we can lay down. We can be at peace, and we don't have to worry about it or feel guilty about it. And two, it gives much needed restoration to our soul. In other words, this is better even than actual physical sleep. This is true rest. Isn't it amazing sometimes we just tell ourselves, well, if I just get a fresh eight hours this time instead of the normal 4 or 5. That's what I need. I just let me be at peace. Let me get a quick nap in here this afternoon, and I'm going to be refreshed, recharged. He says, no, there's something even better than that. Even maybe you may literally be running on empty, as we say, and there is no time for rest. There is no time for sleep. We have this peaceful, steady stream of the waters that he leads us beside, if only we'll drink from it. And we can be at peace in the midst of it. And he says in verse 3, and then it restores me. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, all this points to the great glory and the joy and the love of the one who wants that for us. Isn't that amazing? You ever get sick and tired of maybe questioning what are the motives of some neighbor or some coworker or someone? Sometimes we can't always maybe trust everything we hear, can't believe everything we see. And yet the Lord tells us, don't ever, ever doubt this one thing. God leads us for one reason. He wants us to always be reminded and to show other people. If we follow him, he wants the very best for us. He does it because he wants his name be exalted, that he is the epitome of goodness. He is the epitome of righteousness. He is the epitome of all that is loving and is kind and is generous. Because all the things that we reap from this are these peaceful, gentle, good, positive results. that reflect it. It's all because we've trusted in him. And here's what else happens. In verse 4, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Sometimes I've heard shepherds describe how dangerous the journey can be leading sheep to a safe area. And sometimes a shepherd will have to take winding paths around a mountainous region. And sometimes those paths can be very, very narrow, where just the slightest slip, and then you're just, again, a step between death, that you're in the valley of the shadow of death. And that shepherd is taking you through those seemingly dangerous pathways because he knows what's going to be at the top of that mountain. And we're going to further realize something else that he sees is ahead of us. He says, and this is David looking back at all the times when it seemed like why is this happening to me in my life? Why does it seem like I'm just being led into just dark passages over and over again, and just I can't feel like I have room to breathe, but I'm in this narrow, tight spaces. And it seems like I just have all this worry about what's going to happen if I don't kind of keep my foot certain. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. How does he know he's with me? Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff. There were tend to be two purposes of the shepherd's rod or crook and staff. Sometimes it had that crook or that it was kind of curved over. It would be very easy to kind of grab a sheep who's in danger and pull it out. Other times it may have a knob part of the end. You might have to bop a sheep on the head and say, hey, you're in danger. You need not go over there. And the times when David's looking back, he's like, I know those two times have always been present. I can look back and I can spot it. There were times literally when I was literally falling, and it's only because the Lord took that step and he pulled me out of danger. And in other words, I could trust that even though it seemed like this was not in my best interest, the Lord could safely lead me through narrow, difficult passages in life because he was always there to pull me and bring me in. He was never going to leave me alone. And there were times when he says, I have the markings, I have the bruises. Yeah, he had to bop me on the head, maybe he had to, hey, watch out. And it was for my benefit as I look back and see the rebukes and see the way that he had to get my attention. It was because he needed to have me trusting his leadership to continue going down that path, and eventually we'd get to where we need. And notice verse 5. He says, I always eventually got to the place that I look back and say, this is why I had to go that route. Oh, I get it. We had to take that route to get here. He prepares a table in the presence of my enemies. Understand that some people refer to this as flatland, a table land. In other words, this is the end result of when you go through those winding passages, through those mountainous, treacherous regions. It's because it literally was the quickest and the best path to get to this area, this flat land where sheep could graze, where they could find pasture, where the shepherd had actually been there before the sheep and had actually prepared that land, had actually surveyed it, would actually go up ahead and would notice maybe where there was some dangerous holes that needed filled in where that sheep could be. Maybe there's some, you know, we got, every once in a while you're walking through the yard and you just don't see maybe where some gopher's been digging or something. You step in that hole, I could see that. The shepherd goes ahead and he fills in and makes sure that table land is peaceful and it's a place that you can trust that you're not going to be harmed. In other words, when we are being led, we sometimes think, where am I going? And does the Lord have any idea where he's leading me to? Yes. David is looking back and saying, I see it now. I didn't always see it then, but I see it now. He had a purpose for where he was leading me and how he was leading me. And it was getting to this table land that he went before us. And he filled in all the crevices, filled in all the holes, got rid of all the barbs, got rid of all the thorns and the dangerous areas and removed all the poisonous plants, so to speak. And made sure that when they got there, It was a place where they could just have total peace. And something else he says that comforted him. He says, you have anointed my head with oil. Interesting, again, in this helpless nature of sheep, as they're not able to brush away anything that might get in their eyes, there are certain antagonistic bugs and things that could get into the eye, sometimes plant this stuff. Larva and things that irritates their eyes. And a good shepherd, knowing that that might happen along the way, anoints the head with oil as a protection cover so that those antagonistic bugs and parasites don't get in. And he says, even though I felt like I was being led into dangerous territories, I can see where the intricate things that God was doing to protect me from certain danger along the way. A shepherd does that for us. He doesn't leave us unattended. He thinks about all the little things that might threaten us. And so because of this, he says, you have anointed my head with oil, therefore my cup overflows. And we get to the end, verse 6, surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful, beautiful way to personify the loving kindness of God, to say he's a shepherd, and David is kind of trying to bring all these individual pieces that he knew he would do for his own sheep. Matt is saying, I see now. If anybody who could see it, David could. And say, God has been my shepherd. That's how this works. Even those moments when I wandered off and said, we're all like sheep, we all wander. He did not leave me. He was there the whole time, pulling me away, maybe bopping me on the head, maybe trying to get my attention in some way that I maybe didn't seem pleasant at the time, but he was there. And he was there comforting me and protecting me from other parasites and dangers and trying his best to let me know that I could trust him. And that's how he ends it. And hopefully we can all have the joy of this if we follow him faithfully. He says, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And that's simply what we want for all of us to be able to say, that goodness and loving kindness will follow us all the days of our life. And the best way we can ever say that is to say how David ends it. How could he have goodness and loving kindness all the days of his life, even when he walked through the valley of the shadow of death? Because he could say, hey, this, no matter what, the shepherd that died for me, that rose from the dead for me, tells me I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the table land that he's leading us to. And he's already prepared it before us. He said, I've prepared a place for you. And if we would simply humble ourselves, allow the shepherd to take the reins and lead us, that's where he wants us to be. And we want to encourage anyone who's never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that has not submitted themselves to the shepherd, that you would be able to say as David did, goodness, loving kindness surely will follow you all the days of your life, because you are now in the good hands of the shepherd who's leading you into safety. Once you obey the gospel, if you've never done so, if you've never submitted to that command, and he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you need to respond to the gospel, we encourage you to do so. If you already have, and maybe have wandered away, once you realize that the great shepherd is still working with you, the great shepherd is still trying to rein you in. He has not deserted you. He has not left you. But rather, you have left him. And in your desertion, you are getting further and further into danger. Let him bring you back. Won't you come, and if you need to respond in that sense, to confess, repent, seek prayer, let him do that while we stand and sing the song of encouragement. Won't you come and let your life right with the Lord, whatever the case be, while we stand and sing this song together.